You're listening to Westside Church. For more information, visit us at westsideinfo.com.
Good morning, everybody. It's so good to see all of you here today. I pray that the joy of the Lord will be your strength. I pray that in Him you will be encouraged today, that you'll go home different than you came, that you'll go home a little closer to Jesus, a little more like Jesus, and full of, have your fellowship cup full, and to be able to go out in your sphere of influence this week to better represent Jesus. That's one of the reasons we're here, is we come together to be equipped, to be filled up, to be encouraged, to hear from God, and then go out there. And so if you're newer to Westside, once again, a very warm welcome to all of you who are here today. Maybe it's your first time or your second time. And I just want to say this, that we're glad you're here, but you came at a perfect time. If you're looking for a church home and you're like, you know, looking around, we started last week, but for the next few months, we're going to go through the book of Philippians and pull out all the healthy signs of a local church, signs of a healthy church that we see in Philippians. So pretty much everything we do at Westside and why we do everything that we do, we're going to talk about and explain over the next few months. And so it's a perfect time to get your questions answered. Also, coming up in 2 months is our Westside 101 class. Now, this is the closest thing to a membership class that we have. And if you haven't been in a long, long time, maybe you want to go again. You're more than welcome to, or bring somebody who is newer. This time, however, it's going to be down in Cameron Park because we're one church in two locations right now. And so they're going to host it down there, and you'll hear more about that in the upcoming months. So, Father, once again, we thank you for the opportunity to hear from you, to hear your word. I pray that the truth of your word, the eternal truths and strength that your word provides and direction in our lives will hit us hard and clear today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus said, "I will build my church. This is Jesus' church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." So the church, universal, that's all believers from all time, that's Jesus' church. He's the head. You can't be the head. That job is taken. Jesus is the head of Westside Church. You can't take that job. That job is taken. Jesus said he will build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so I'm so glad that the foundation is set there and it's not going to change. And in Philippians chapter 1, I want to read this passage once again. We're actually going to read it for the next few weeks because we're pulling a lot out of these first few verses in Philippians. Paul says this to the church at Philippi, "Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." I love that. God is going to work on you. If you're a believer in Christ, if you said yes to Jesus, he's going to work on you, and he's going to keep working on you until the day that you see him. That's the day of Jesus Christ. The day of Jesus Christ is the day that we take our last breath here on earth, or if Jesus comes back before that time, we're all taken up into the sky to meet him, as Thessalonians says. We're going to meet him in a twinkling of an eye. That's going to be awesome. The twinkling of an eye, in my opinion, is the distance, the time it takes for the speed of light to go from your outside of your eye to the back of your retina, which is a twinkling. All right? That's pretty fast. And so, think like this. And so we're going to be taken up, caught up with him. So just be aware, be prepared that you're not finished yet. God's going to keep working on you. This is a wonderful process that we have here together. So We don't know when that time is going to be. We've had some people in this church that have given testimony. Several have shared about loved ones that were in Hawaii last week, or they were in Hawaii last week. And how would you like it all of a sudden on your phone? You're in Hawaii on vacation, and your phone goes, dee, 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 like this, and it goes, alert, intercontinental ballistic missile from North Korea headed your way in 38 minutes. I'll tell you what, you're gonna do that emoji con that goes like this. And so what are you going to do? You have 38 minutes. I mean, you don't know. And are you going to go buy water? A lot of good that's going to do you at 18 million degrees. And so you're going to call your loved ones. You're going to pray. You're going to somehow get a message to the people that are most important to you. We don't know. I want to encourage you. Be ready. Yeah. Be ready. You don't know the day of Jesus Christ for you. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. After that, the judgment. All of us are going to have that appointment. It doesn't matter. And so we want to be ready. Our vision here at Westside is to be a strong, healthy local church. And actually to keep being a strong, healthy local church. Because in my humble opinion, this is a great church. This is a great church body. We're not perfect. We don't think we've arrived. We're not it. We're part of it, but we're not it. Jesus is it. But I want to encourage you that as a church, where our vision is to be a strong, healthy, local church, I'll tell you what, healthy flocks of sheep have little baby sheepies. Healthy orchards have lots of fruit. And we want to be a healthy local church where there's much fruit present from the people here serving God, loving God, and doing what he's called them to do in their spheres of influence. So a strong, healthy local church is our vision. Last week we talked on this Philippians series. We opened up with Jesus. Paul, it was a changed life. He used to be Saul. And that's why we're here. That's the loudest name we're going to shout. We love Jesus. We are about Jesus. He's the one that we love, that we live for, the one that we serve, the one that we sacrifice for. So there's a couple of other values out of Philippians chapter 1 here that we're going to get into today. The first one is team, T-E-A-M. I love that. Team. God has put us in team. And team is all through the Bible. Although you won't find the word team in the New Testament, but you'll find the word togetherness over 90 times. They ate together. They prayed together. They walked together. They worked together. They served together. They died together. And we see that pattern all through. God is team and God uses team. And so we see a few examples in the Bible, actually quite a few. The first one is within the Godhead himself. Father, Son, and Spirit, team, eternal team that he's always had with himself, oneness and threeness. There's much evidence in the Bible for oneness. There is one God. Hear, O Israel, there is one God, and you shall worship him only. And threeness, Father, Son, and Spirit. Jesus said that the Father and me are one. Colossians 1 says Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. There's evidence for Father, Son, and Spirit. In Matthew chapter 28, where we get the Great Commission, Jesus said to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, baptizing them in the name, that's singular, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that's plural, baptizing them in the singular of the plural. What? All right? That's where our finite brains get short-circuited on the infinite. We can't fully understand that. We just have to be happy that there is oneness and threeness that we see within the Godhead. In the beginning, God says, let us make man in our image. And so God's not, he's not schizophrenic where he has multiple personalities. He's not three gods, a plurality of gods. No, there's one God. We just have to know that within the Godhead, there's this fellowship that's been there for all of eternity. And then we see husband and wife. That's the first institution established in the Word of God in Genesis chapter 2. God says, therefore, man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. What a beautiful picture. What, right at the beginning, we have team demonstrated together that there's this one leadership team of the household. Terry and Mai, we have a husband-wife motto. So I hope this doesn't offend you, but our motto is team bar, kick butt. All right, that's our motto. We are in this race to finish, baby, and we are not going to give up until we cross that finish line and see Jesus' face. And so we're a team, and God has established team. Every team that he establishes that we see in Scripture has somebody who functions as the head of the team or the leader of the team. The Father is in the Godhead, and Jesus said, after I leave, the Father will send another helper. So the Holy Spirit is another helper. So the Son and the Spirit are being sent by the Father. Are they less than? No, they're eternal. They're God, full and through. But the function of the Father is the leadership. And then in the home, we have a leadership. The husband, as the head of the home, doesn't mean he's an autocrat and a ruler and dictatorial. And we'll be talking about that, how the husband leads, in just a moment. But we see God establishing team within a husband and wife. So they're one in purpose and one in vision and one in intimacy and one in the fruit of their union. Is like when Terry and I had our first baby, honey, we got this little thing here and it has your blood in it and it has my blood in it. That's awesome. And so we're one together in that respect. And so we're one in our working together. Even if I'm not doing what I'm in with her on it, and she's in with me on it. And we're one in our finances, and we're one in unity, all those kind of things. By the way, there's going to be a great class this spring in our Bible school on Tuesday nights. It's going to be a 7-week class on marriage. And we're going to have 7 different couples share on different aspects of marriage for 7 weeks in a row. It's going to be awesome. And so you'll hear more about that coming up in April, I think, is when we're starting, right after Easter. And so look forward to that. Another place we see team in the New Testament are the apostles. And so in Acts chapter 2, this is a great picture. So in Acts chapter 2 is what we call Pentecost. It was 50 days after Passover. That's what Penta is, you know, the 50 gets in there. So Jesus was around for about 40 days after that Passover, and then there's another 10 days where they waited around and prayed. And then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit falls on this room that has about 120 people in it. We got about 150 or 60 in here right now. And so it was a room a little bit less number than people, but a good size number of people, and all of a sudden there was a sound of a mighty rushing wind, and there was what appeared to be tongues of fire on their heads. I would like to see that, wouldn't you? I would love to see that. I hope the DVD has surround sound when we get to heaven so we can watch it. You hear the whoosh, you know, the wind, mighty rushing wind, and you know, there was so much noise and so much commotion that thousands of people came to see. Now, in those days, a window was actually an opening. There was no glass there or anything. And so they could hear through it, and it was a mighty rushing wind. So Peter goes out on the balcony with the other apostles, and there's thousands of people out there. I can't wait. Someday we're going to have a worship time in here, and the Holy Spirit's going to come, not because that's all we're looking for. We do want his presence, of course, but something's going to happen. We're going to open those blinds up. I'm not saying this will happen, but I would love for it to happen. And there's thousands of people out on there. All of a sudden, people just come because the Holy Spirit's drawing them in. Anyway, so Mark's going to have to get up on the roof, start preaching. And so get to them. And that'll be awesome. So Peter, it says in Acts 2:14, it says, Peter taking his stand with the 11. It doesn't say Peter finally saw his opportunity now that Jesus was gone to come in and be the head honcho and get up there and say whatever. No, it says Peter took his stand with the 11. That's team. A couple chapters later in Acts chapter 4, Peter and John are walking through the temple and they go by the gate where there's a beggar there. And the beggar is looking up and saying, alms, alms for the poor, things like this. By the way, Jesus walked by that gate many times. And it says that the guy was there for 40 years. So Jesus didn't heal that guy. There was this opportunity for God to move in a great way. So Peter looks at him. Now, I don't know if you've ever walked to downtown San Francisco, but if you stop and talk to somebody who's panhandling, if you look at them, you're lost right there, okay? Because you're going to have to give something up because they'll follow you for blocks. So this guy's looking at Jesus, I mean, Peter, and Peter says, look at us. He doesn't say, look at me. Just that little subtle little thing demonstrates team. Yeah. Peter wasn't the big... like this. He says, look at us. And then he said, silver and gold have I none, but what I do have, I'll give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And so the guy was healed and walked there. So we see team among the apostles there. And we see Barnabas and Paul. And we see Paul and Silas. And we see Paul and Timothy. Or we see Timothy and Titus. We see all team everywhere. Every letter in the New Testament addressed to the elders, plural, at such and such a church. The word elder doesn't appear anywhere singularly except when Peter says, to my fellow elders as an elder. That, you know, he's referring to himself singularly. But it's always teams that we see in the New Testament. In the body of Christ, the local church. Paul compares us to a body in Romans chapter 12. The church is also compared to a flock. That requires many members. The church is compared to a building. That requires many parts. The church is compared to an army. That requires many parts. The church is compared to a field. And a household. That every time there's a picture of the church in the New Testament, it requires many parts. And so here in Romans 12, Paul is referring to the church as a body. And he says, for as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. And so the body has all kinds of different parts and each one has its own function. Here's a sad thing that's happening in churches all across the world today is that people go, well, I'm a thumb in the body of Christ, and I don't get along with the people who are the elbow, and we don't get along with the people who are the ear. You know, so we're going to have a whole church here of ears, and down the street we're going to have a whole church of elbows, and because we all think alike and walk alike and talk alike. What kind of body is that? We need diversity of gifts. Thank God that the person sitting next to you doesn't have your gift. In fact, look at your neighbor and say, thank God you don't have my gift. And I thank God for your gift. And then sometimes we'll hear people say, well, this church thing, you know, I love Jesus, but this church thing is okay, but it's just me and Jesus. Just me and Jesus. And so, well, Jesus is the head, that's true. And so suppose you are the thumb, and so you're a thumb, and there's a big head on top of this thumb, and you go hopping down the street. That's not a complete body. You're not going to get a lot done. All right? You can't see anything or hear anything to begin with. All right, and the big toe is made to be stubbed, not the big thumb. And there's all kinds of functions for the body. Or my favorite is the liver. Suppose you're the liver, and it's just the liver and Jesus as the head. And you go down the street. Here we go. All right? What kind of body is that? We were created differently to be different members of the body where we don't have the same function. God put us in team together. I thank God that we're not all the same. I thank God that on the eldership, we're not all the same. I thank God that some of the elders have hair. All right? We don't all look. We're not all just cookie cutter. We want diversity of gifts, don't you? And so I'm so thankful for that. So I love team. And some of you know my favorite comic strip is Peanuts. K Can you see Charlie Brown and Lucy? I mean, Linus and Lucy back there at the back row? All right, I'll read it to you then. So Lucy's walking up to Linus. Linus is watching TV. She comes up to Linus and she goes, "Switch channels." That's typically Lucy, right? And he does the, like this. And she said, "I said, switch channels. I want to watch my program." And he turns around and says, "Are you kidding? What makes you think you can just walk right in here and take over?" And she says, "These five fingers, individually, they're nothing. But when I curl them together like this into a single unit, they form a weapon that is terrible to behold." He goes, "Which channel do you want to watch?" And then he goes, this is what Linus always does. He goes, like this. And then he looks at his own hand and he says, "Why can't you guys get organized like that? Individually, we're nothing. We're zeros. If you like math, we're zeros. He's one. He's the one. So you put a zero next to one, that's a 10. That's a big number. But if you put a zero next to another zero, another zero, another zero, another zero, another zero, and a one, just think what we can be. We can do what God's called us to do because we're working together in team. Isn't that amazing? So how do we act in team? We do what Jesus demonstrated. We serve one another. So the second characteristic we're talking about this morning is servants of Jesus. Philippians 1:1, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. You didn't know we could get so much out of a little verse that it's just a greeting, right? Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. So this word servant in the Greek is doulos, or bond slave. We don't like the word servant or slave much in our culture. I would like to say this, that every people group in the history of the world has been enslaved at one time or another. So what we don't want to do is look at history through today's spectacles or lenses. We don't want to judge history through today's, like slavery and slaves does not have a good history or connotation in our culture, in our nation. But back in the first century, that's how their economy was based. And so we don't want to look at it exactly the same way as we would look at it. So there's going to be people in the future judging us today through their eyes, and we're going to be doing all kinds of stuff wrong. I don't know what it will be, but they'll think of something that we're doing today we think is normal. Like when Terry and I, when our kids were little, car seats were not the law. So our kids, that's why your grandma, when you put the brake on the car, your grandma goes like this. All right? Because that's what parents were used to doing. The kid would be standing up in the front seat. And today, young parents go, "Oh my God, I can't believe you did that," you know, like this. And no, you're judging history through today's eyes. Yeah. Just like 100 years from now, they're going to judge you, parents. How on earth could you use electricity? How could you have those electricity things in your house? Don't you know that when little kids put stuff in there, they get electrocuted? Like, how could you do that? All right? And we go, wait a minute. Don't judge me in the future based on what's normal today. That's a little side lesson about history that was free. Okay, so serfs, this all comes to bond slave. Bond slave is a slave. It's a servant. I'm a doulos, a bond slave. And it's servants weren't considered. In those days, a lot of servants and a lot of slaves had way more power than a lot of free people. Like if you were a slave of some powerful person, you might be the administrator of their household. You carried a lot of authority. And so we want to be careful of that. But Paul and Timothy call themselves slaves of Jesus. That was their attitude. We're here to serve Almighty God. So somebody said this once, why is it that it's considered an honor when called upon to serve an earthly king, but it's a sacrifice when we serve God? You know, like a king calls you and says, "I want you to come and work for me." And you go, "Yeah, it's an honor to go work in the court," and you know, all this kind of stuff. And then when, "Yeah, I'll serve Jesus. I'll sacrifice for Jesus." Like, wait a minute. It's actually a big privilege to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so sometimes our thinking is, no, Paul and Timothy took it seriously. We are serving the king. And so here's a little geometry, if and then sentence. If we love God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and we love our neighbor as ourself, that's the great commandment, then we can remember this. We serve because we love. We serve because we love. We don't serve so we'll get loved. We serve because we love. And because we love, we serve. So that's an outward sign of an inward transformation. So how do we serve? Well, it's got to be in the right order. We serve God first. We serve God first. Joshua 22:5. Joshua is speaking to the children of Israel when he says this, but be very careful to obey all the commands of the law that Moses gave to you. Love the Lord your God, walk in all his ways, obey his commands, be faithful to him, and serve him with all your heart and all your soul. Sometimes we get in this mode of thinking. It's okay to serve God with half our heart and half our soul. Half, that's pretty good. It's okay to serve God with three-quarters of our heart and three-quarters of our soul. Wives, how would you like it if your husband said to you, honey, I love you with three-quarters of my heart. It's really good. No. God wants all of our heart, all of our soul. Jesus said in the New Testament, it wasn't just in the Old Testament, Jesus said in the New Testament, if you love me, obey my commands. And so how could we serve God? What could he possibly need? What could I do that God needs? Well, we can serve others. We serve God by serving others. Number two, Galatians 5:13. You have been called to live in freedom. I just want to tell you, that's one of my main passions in this church and our eldership, is to make sure that our people, we walk in freedom, that we don't put any bondage, any legalism, any kind of restrictions on you that the Bible doesn't put on you. Yeah. We want you to be free. It's a cry of the human heart to be free. Just ask Mel Gibson, freedom! Cries out, freedom. And the reason Jesus sets you free is so that you will be free. To walk in freedom, not get caught up in all these rules and regulations, but to be free. But Paul says not freedom to satisfy your sinful nature, but freedom to serve one another in love. And so once again, that serving is that Greek word doulos, a bond slave. So the greatest servant of all, of course, is Jesus. I love this. He washed his disciples' feet. He got down on his knees. Young people, do you know what was in streets in those days? The streets were dirty. And donkeys walked along those streets. And you know what donkeys do? They drop stuff. And it's all mixed in with people who throw their washing and their potato peelings out on the road and it would get all stinky. And then when someone would come into your house, the lowest servant in the house, or if you didn't have servants, the youngest kid, sorry, youngest kids, you're the lowest of the low in your house among slaves, all right? Because the Bible does talk about slaves today. Teenagers, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So anyway, someone would come in your house, and the first thing you do is you get down on your knees and wash their feet. Wash all that icky stuff off. Well, Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he picks up his robe, ties it around his waist, gets down on his knees, puts Peter's big feet in front of his face, and tenderly washes Peter's feet like a servant would. Jesus was the leader. And he demonstrated servant-heartedness. Just like husbands demonstrate servant-heartedness toward their wives. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, and gave himself for her. Jesus died for the church, his bride. We husbands die for our brides. If you're single in this church, praise God for where you are today. Pray for that person who may someday become your mate, your spouse for life. And don't worry about who that's going to be. Just pray for them and become the person that they're praying for. All right. I encourage you, if you're single in this church, pray for the marriages. We want strong marriages and families in this church. And singles, I want you to know that there's a place for you, and we'll stand with you when you need somebody to stand with you in certain life situations. So anyway, Jesus demonstrated servant-heartedness, and then not long later, some of the disciples were arguing about who's going to be the greatest in Jesus' kingdom. Who's going to sit at his right hand? And so Jesus says, come over here. We're going to go behind the woodshed. I'm going to teach you something here. So Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everyone else. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. Of anybody that deserved to be served, it was Jesus. Yet he chose to serve. That's our example in leadership. That's our example in servant-heartedness, in walking this walk in life of humility. So, what do we do with these two things? Team and serving. Number one, understand that God never created us to be alone. Genesis chapter 2, God says it's not good for man to be alone. I'm going to make him a helper suitable for him. God created us to be in community. That's one of our bylines here, is in community, on mission. And so we need each other in the church. You might ask yourself, where do you fit in? Where do you fit in? Where do you serve? If you're part of the body and you don't have a function, say you've been coming to Westside for 40 years now and you don't have a function yet, it's time to find a function. It's time to fit in. There's all kinds of, we have hundreds of volunteers in this church. There's thousands, probably tens of thousands of man hours every year that's put into to leading and serving and working in this church, making this a great place. We have very few employees. We have 3 full-time employees here. That's it at the church. It's volunteers and people serving. There's people out serving our kids right now. There's guys walking the parking lot right now that are keeping the campus safe and monitoring classrooms. If there's an emergency in a classroom, they can go stand there. They're all interviewed and part of the and screen and on our children's ministry team. The guys walking around the parking lot. And by the way, we need guys out. Guys, we need you out there. We need more guys walking in security. It's just a different world we live in than we did even 20 years ago. And so the team, if you can walk and if you can look tough and friendly at the same time. All right? We actually need you. And so once a month, twice a month, one service, pick one. Talk to Mark, raising his hand right here. Or go to the, put your name at the Welcome Center, and we'll get the information to you. But there's a place for you. Some people volunteer in the office here. Some guys swing hammers and help fix things and keep things in good repair. Some people hospitality and prepare a coffee and tea stuff. And we have funeral making food ministry. We have people in hospitality. We have all kinds of stuff, whatever your passion is. So we are a church in community on mission. Embrace it and thank God for it. Number two, we use our freedom to serve one another in love. So I'm a servant of God, and I serve him by serving and loving others. I obey him. Obedience is his love language. And I love people, and through love, I serve them. And I love this passage in 1 Peter chapter 4. Peter the apostle, he's older now. This is almost the end of the first century, and he's writing a letter to the church. And he says in 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11, each of you has a gift. Use that or employ it in serving one another so that God gets the glory. There's 3 things there. You could preach a sermon. Each of you has a gift. Not one gift. You're the gift. It's singular because it's you. But no one person only has one gift. We all have many gifts. What is your gift to the body? I don't know, but it's unique. and nobody else can take your place. Terry's doing a jigsaw puzzle right now that she has declared to me that is the hardest jigsaw puzzle she's ever done. Been working on it since Christmas time, and it's a map of the world, and so there's all kinds of blue. Blue, with no markings on it. So she's been working on this, and she's getting close, actually, doing pretty good. But I'll tell you what, there might be 1,000 pieces there. 999 might be in the right place. But if one piece is missing, which is the one you notice first? The one that's missing. When you're not in your place doing what God's called you to do, we miss you. And we notice it. And it takes all of us to make that picture complete. Now, we're not a picture like this. We're more organic because we just grow and move and shift and those kind of things. But each person needs to be in their place. Where do you fit in? What's your gift? How can you serve? And if you say, I don't know, I have no idea, put your name at the Welcome Center and say, I have no idea. Somebody talk to me and help me figure out what would be a good place to start. And so what we want to do is use our gifts to serve each other so that God gets the glory. Now, 50, 60 years ago, there was a young guy, teenager. His name was John Lennon, and he started playing music and writing songs, and he got a couple of friends named Ringo and George and Paul, and they started this group called the Beatles, and they became very famous. In fact, John Lennon said, we're more famous than Jesus Christ. It's a little bit arrogant, but he wrote songs that influenced a generation. What if somebody had told him about Jesus when he was 13? And his life was changed radically. And he used that gift to influence a generation. A few years later, there was a young man who was 13, and he was a good musician. But he came from a broken home. He came from an abusive home in multiple ways. Horrible background. Until a young youth worker named Mike Pellavacci got a hold of him, brought him into the church, introduced him to Jesus, and that young man began to write songs. His name was Matt Redman, and he influenced a generation because he used his gift to serve others so that God gets the glory. And so what gift do you have? What gift do you have? How can you serve others so that ultimately God gets the glory? I want to read once again out of Galatians 5. This is out of the Message. This is the paraphrase. It is absolutely clear that God has called you to be a free life. Just make sure that you don't use this freedom as an excuse to do whatever you want to do and destroy your freedom. Rather, use your freedom to serve one another in love. That's how freedom grows. For everything we know about God's word is summed up in a single sentence: love others as you love yourself. That's an act of true freedom. Amen.